This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends off. Yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again. Back to back. 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts.
This week, the Patriots host the Houston Texans in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Is back to throw. He looks, he fires to the end zone, and it is intercepted. Brandon Lloyd wide to the far side, right. Play action fake by Brady, has good protection, shoots it long and deep, wide open, touchdown. Oh man, was he wide open, Brandon Lloyd. And off to the left side. Oh my goodness, what a stick that was. Blasting.
Mayo.
The running back was Gerard Mayo.
Stomp, bam, pow.
Brady takes the snap, steps up, shoots it long and deep, and it is caught, and Dante Stallworth, 15-10, 5, end zone, touchdown. One lone running back, play action fake by Schaub, here's the rush, they get to him, and they're going to sack him. Back at about midfield, Rob Ninkovich. Hernandez wide to the far side left. Flat pass, Hernandez left, and he walks into the end zone. Houston had no idea what was going on.
It's embarrassing.
They had no clue. They weren't even lined up.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Sal went last time around. A little production value on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Nice work by Kevin Collins behind the scene as we take you up to Patriots and Texans, 4:30 Eastern kick. Here in Foxborough in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. And guys, we know it was a blowout back on December 10th between these two sides, 42-14. What's changed and what are we expecting in this game here today?
Well, what's changed is Rob Gronkowski's back, Jonathan Joseph's healthier, Brooks Reed's back, and Texans haven't been very good since that game. The 11-1 team lost 3 of their last 4, and I just talked about this a little bit earlier on the Sports Hub. I didn't really like what they were saying after the Bengals game. You know, they thought they played better than I thought they played in that game. You know, they couldn't get it in the end zone. They basically kicked field goals, and that was good enough. But I don't think good enough beats Tom Brady and the Patriots at Gillette Stadium after a bye week. I think they're going to have to make plays, and I don't know if that has changed. I don't know if Gary Kubiak and Matt Schaub are ready to come in here and maybe throw the opening punches. I don't think they should be feeling anything out. I think if we've seen anything this postseason, this weekend in particular, you need to make plays. Whether it's, you know, the Falcons game that's on right now, where the Falcons continue to sort of go at old friend Richard Sherman,
yes,
you mad bro, and getting the ball down the field and into the end zone. Or yesterday we saw endless plays, you know, kick returns, punt returns, pick sixes, you know, 30, 40 points put on the board, even in games that involve supposedly the best scoring defenses in football. You know, these two defenses are supposedly very evenly matched, 331 points allowed over the regular season. You got to make plays. I have confidence the Patriots have guys that can make plays. I don't know about the Texans.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the Texans, to me, we've been talking about it all week. I think the Texans are a talented team. I just don't know if they're mentally tough enough to win here. And that's going to be one of the things I'm really watching. I think you're going to find out very quickly in the first quarter. This is a game, Andy's old cliche. you can't lose a game. You can't win a game in the first quarter, but you can lose one, which, you know, doesn't really make any sense because I don't understand if the team that lost the game in the first quarter didn't the other team win it in the first quarter. But, you know, we'll leave that to
an off-season debate.
We'll leave that to brighter football minds than ours. But I think you'll find out right away, you know, what kind of mental mindset the Houston Texans have come in. If they still have those scars from what happened to him in December, I think it's going to be over quickly. Now, if they, you know, regrouped and said, you know what, we're a better football team than we showed, and there's nothing, you know, that they're going to do that, you know, match up man for man, there's nothing that they can do that we haven't seen before and we can't handle, then it's game on. I think it's going to be the former. I think this is going to be a blowout.
We've all seen the numbers from the Patriots in rematches under Bill Belichick, and I thought Don Banks, SI.com, had these, where Belichick 8-0 all-time when facing a team for the first time in the postseason. Patriots under Belichick are 8-6 in rematches in the postseason, and even worse since 2005. They're 3-6 since that point. So why have they struggled in some of these rematches?
It's a good question. I don't have a definitive commonality in those. Andy was talking about some of those stats that ESPN put out there about some changes defensively that teams have made the second time around. But, if you're going to ask me just off the top of my head to come up with something, I don't know if this is more than just anecdotal evidence as opposed to anything real, but I'll say this. Early on in the Patriots' success, in the early part of the decade, I think that they were a terrific football team. I think on both sides of the ball, when they were winning Super Bowls, they were really good on both sides of the ball, especially defensively. Talent-wise, you weren't going to beat the Patriots once, twice, or anyway. Now I think that they rely a little bit more on Tom Brady's greatness and Bill Belichick's ability to prepare. And I think the first time around, another team might look at this team and say, well, they're not overly talented, but they're very effective at what they do. They do what they do very well. They execute. They don't beat themselves. But we can match up. You know, there's guys that are tough. Rob Gronkowski is a matchup nightmare. But they don't have that across the board. You know, Danny Woodhead is not keeping defensive coordinators up at night. So maybe you see that. You see how they use them.
I just envisioned Danny Woodhead jumping over like the fence like sheep.
But
just little guys.
Do you understand my point? I think, you know, once you see what the Patriots do, I don't think that they're so good that it doesn't matter if you know what they're going to do. You're not going to stop them. And I think that might be why the second time around with good teams. Now, you know, when you're a playoff team, it's not like the second time around playing the Buffalo Bills. It's the second time around playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs or
the Broncos.
Like I said, good teams.
I think I'm saying the same thing, but I get back to the same thing I said about Schaub. It's playmakers. It's guys making plays. And I think when the Patriots were at their best, they had a lot of playmakers, even guys who weren't great. You don't have to be a Hall of Famer to me to be a playmaker. But, like, David Givens was a postseason playmaker. He stepped up and he made plays. How many straight games did he have touchdowns in the postseason and all that? And I don't want to take shots at some of the great guys that have come through here, but some of the guys didn't make plays. Even guys that were once playmakers. You know, Brady, his numbers aren't as good as they once were. You could argue he's been less clutch. In fact, a lot of people wanted to argue that early in the year.
Tom Brady,
you know,
check.
Wes Welker, you know, he didn't make the plays that he needed to make. I'm not saying he's not good.
The checkmark hit list is reserved for media members.
Yes, Wes Welker, right. Check.
I'm not saying these guys aren't good. You know, Rob Gronkowski, I'm not saying he's not good. But you have to make plays. You have to prove it. You have to do it again. The ante is upped. And certainly on defense, their playmakers haven't come through. Now, I feel a little bit better about this year's team in terms of playmakers, but they need to do it. You need Ninkovich, who may or may not be at full health doing it. You need Chandler Jones to be September Jones and not, you know, October, November Jones. Stephen Gregory, whoever it is, I think you need to make it sounds so simplistic and stupid, but I think you have to make plays in the postseason. I think what Paul's talking about is just the, you know, consistent execution and business-like approach and all that crap, to me, is great for the regular season. Even keeled week to week, and I've talked about this before, in the postseason, you need to make plays. Somebody, and it doesn't have to be your elite players. It could be Danny Woodhead. You could leave here today saying, Danny Woodhead, wow, he had those three catches and those two carries that broke the back of the Houston Texans.
Yep.
Somebody, just plays that need to be made, make them, or you're Raheem Moore.
And on the flip side of things, we'll get to him, I'm sure. Quite possibly the single worst play I've ever
seen
in an NFL
safety. Looked
like the
Patriots safeties in that Seattle game is what it looked like.
Oh, no. At
least, worse. He did channel a little of his inner Tavon Wilson. All I have to do is get deep. Don't let anybody get by. There's a guy in front of me. I'm going to run up toward him. Good call.
Yeah.
Now jump and fall to the ground.
Just unbelievable. Oh,
yeah, now even once I recognize it, I'm going to stumble, backpedal, and jump to really ensure that I can't get back into this play.
He should have faked a hamstring injury.
Unless this guy's able to go 70 yards and get into the end zone. I mean, what could possibly happen?
He should have faked a stroke with the way he looked on that one.
He should have. A seizure. 508-298-0398.
Your phone number to get in touch with us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. You can also send your emails
to
web radio.
I know you're new to radio.
At Patriots.com. All these new microphones in here.
This guy.
The statistics we were talking about in rematches, what role do they have in this game, specifically with the Houston Texans? We've seen the Ravens, the Jets, teams make adjustments from the regular season to the postseason. Are these Texans, between Wade Phillips and Gary Kubiak, are they capable of doing that?
Well, they are capable. I mean, anybody's capable of making adjustments. The question is, will they do it? And
I'm wondering. Can change, and eyes can change, we all can change.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Don't you feel like that's what it's going to take, though? Because I think Kubiak and Wade Phillips are sort of the old Bill Belichick, Dick LeBeau. They do what they do, and they think it's good enough. Well, it isn't. And if you're going to do what you do, you're going to lose with what you do.
And Andy's been talking a lot about it from the offensive side with Kubiak and Schaub and their ability, and that's huge because they need to score points, because I don't think any of us envisions a scenario in which Houston completely shuts down the Patriots and they can win the game 17-14 like the Giants did in the Super Bowl in Arizona.
So far, all the games this weekend, you need 20 points at the half to just be competitive.
Right. You know, so Andy's touched on that on the offensive side. On the defensive side, Wade Phillips is the kind of defensive coordinator I like. He's an aggressive guy who doesn't want to sit back and allow the other team to dictate the way the game's played. He wants to dictate to you how you have to play. However, the problem with that against a team like the Patriots and a quarterback like Brady and the other great quarterbacks, you know, and it's not a surprise to me that Aaron Rodgers really lit him up too, you can't blitz those guys consistently or you're really playing with fire. They blitzed a lot in that first game, and it didn't work. I think Brady was something like 13 for 19 with three touchdowns against the blitz, five or more rushers. You can't do that every time. Now, I'm not suggesting that you never blitz, because you can't do that either. But you need to be a little bit more judicious. You have to change things up. You need to can't give Brady – if you let Brady have an idea of what you're doing, you're dead. And I think that Wade Phillips needs to change just as much as Andy's point about – Gary Kubiak can't just sit there and be content to hand the ball off to Arian Foster on first down every single possession, and second and 10 as well.
Well, it's a broken record, but I don't think you could look at any two games against elite teams any differently. The Houston game and the San Francisco game. One came in not to lose, and one came in to kick your ass and walk away a winner. And the one that came in not to lose lost, embarrassed, had to burn their Letterman's jackets. And the other one strutted out here with their tatted up QB and said, "We're the best damn football team on this field tonight." Right?
Absolutely.
They got the cocky coach, who, don't tell me Jim Harbaugh's not one of the cockiest, ball-busting, a-hole coaches in the NFL, and he walked away a winner.
A gamer,
you know, the quarterbacking days, whereas Kubiak, you know, rode John Elway's coattails forever and is just sort of a nice wallflower, live in the background, and we're just happy to be here and, you know, try not to lose. You lost.
Can I just throw a quick aside in
here?
You'd
be like Zoe coaching.
Yeah, well, which one?
Zoe Lack.
No, because I think Zoe's a little cuckoo.
Just mean, you know, being a that'd be the equivalent of a backup quarterback coaching your team.
Yeah, but I think Zoe's just wacky enough.
Oh yeah, Kubiak. Yeah, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Quick aside, means nothing. But last night, as the Green Bay game starts, Green Bay San Francisco, they show Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines. My lovely wife Beth, watching the game with me, says he looks a lot like the Ravens coach.
That's pretty perceptive there.
Yeah.
Those Perillos, that family of investigative reporters.
Can't sneak anything by them. Before we get to your phone calls at 508-298-0398, that's how you give us your thoughts on this game here, Patriots and Texans, 4:30 kickoff in Foxborough. So Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let's head over to the poll center and check in with Matt LePan.
How are we doing today, guys?
Slim down, Matt LePan.
Doing all right there.
11 pounds except down, that's right.
You just put on two by eating donuts.
I know, right? Bad day.
You're on a diet? You've been diving into those donuts like...
Well, it is the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. We got
to... I haven't had a donut in three shows, all right?
Okay.
So, Andy, you can't laugh at this one, all right? I'm going to start with that.
I'll try not to.
What is the best unit on the field? I knew it was going to come as soon as I said it. So, anyways, Patriots tight ends, Texans defensive line, Patriots linebackers, Texans running backs.
I'll answer with Brandon Spikes.
I'd like
Fred
to say
paging Fred Kirsch.
I don't know. Go one more time. Read those.
Like
best
say,
unit on the field.
Patriots tight ends, Texans defensive line, Patriots linebackers, Texans running backs.
Or Brandon Spikes.
Well,
he's in the linebacker.
It would have been Shenko, but he's gone.
I mean, I think people want to say, and you know, the idea of Gronk is back, and that's a huge difference in this ball game. But I'm not sure what I'm going to get from Gronk or Hernandez.
That's
this
what
isn't
92%
like
92% of people. Are
the yeah, well, is Gronk going to use both hands or only one? And is Hernandez actually going to catch the balls that are thrown his way, or do you need to throw him 14 passes to get six completions? Because in theory, I think they. What is happening in there?
Unbelievable end to the first half. Can I pick up with my play by play that you
he
always criticize
like
me?
He
for?
Looks like a flight traffic controller over there. Like, with
well,
his
I just saw a receiver.
Well, can
no,
I pick up
William
yards?
Moore is so happy right there.
I'll
and
pick
that
up
was
my play by play that Andy generally criticizes. Third and goal with 17 seconds left. Seattle had no timeouts left. They got sacked. And they're rushing to try to get a playoff, and I didn't know if he was going to try to spike it, not realizing it was fourth down. They snapped the ball, and they had a guy wide open, uncovered, but it was after the buzzer.
So that's why Rice was all alone running into the red zone.
20 to nothing
at the half.
And that's also after they failed to get it on a fourth and one with a fullback dive earlier. So the Seahawks and
Adam Jones not happy with the fullback dive.
Not a big fullback dive.
Did not have Michael Robinson in your
field. Was
it Michael Robinson or was it Terminator?
It was Michael Robinson. It was the Terminator on third down and then Robinson. Marshawn Lynch doesn't get any carries on third or fourth down.
Is he eating Skittles on the sideline after his fumble?
lots of you lining up on the phone, so let's get out there. 508-298-0398. Our buddy Jeff in Vegas will kick us off. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How are you? Good morning.
What's up?
Well, it looks like the old Pete Carroll, the 1998 Pete Carroll right there, not getting points before the half. But, yeah, exciting day. Actually, I got an injury yesterday, jumping up and down, yelling and screaming when Baltimore hit that pass play at the end of regulation to tie it up. I, like, slammed into the side of one of the sportsbook tables here. The place was packed with Denver fans, though. They hated me. People literally wanted me to kill me yesterday.
Not the first time, eh?
Not whatsoever. on to today's number, New England has stayed minus 10 throughout. The total has swung up to 50 as far as the over-under. And then the Texans to win the game is an extraordinarily valuable plus 400. Not that that means anything, but I'm going to have to do a tiny little look at that just as a worst-case scenario. Two questions. Can they stop Johnson, and how much will Foster be able to damage? How much damage will Foster do today? He's looked good of late.
I don't think Foster will do that. I know he's a three-time 100-yard back in the postseason, 140 yards against a good Bengals front last week. But who's yelling in the background?
Why does it sound like there's a monster in the background?
Yes, he's
it's the Denver mob chasing him down from yesterday.
Sounds like the demon in one of the Ghostbusters movies.
No, it's halftime, so they turn the commercials way up. Okay, I'm outside now overlooking Vegas Boulevard. Should be a little bit more quiet.
Arian Foster will not win this game for the Texans. Andre Johnson could. I'm not going to say they're just going to shut him down. What do you have, like 85 yards the first time? I think that's an interesting matchup, and that plays into my Schaub and Kubiak. You need to take some chances down the field. You need to take some to your playmaker. You know, you can't be afraid of guys and afraid of not making plays. Richard Sherman, supposedly this great cornerback, right? Well, they just send guys deep down the field and say, my great receiver is going to beat your great cornerback, and it happened.
Yeah, I'm hoping, and that I think it's going to go ahead and bring us to the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Yeah. Heavens to Betsy!
Brought to you by the Eye Candy Dancers.
Nice. I got some candy for their eyes.
And speaking of Belo, he's just tweeting out nonsensical tweets about, oh, if New England wins, they'll host the AFC Championship game. Can we get a little bit more value out of Belo's tweets? I mean, come on, man.
That's kind of how he makes his way through life, just babbling incoherently
hot dogs
useless stuff.
And sausages.
That's a high-end tweet on game day in New England, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know. Really.
The entire media.
Okay. Twitter.
The entire check. New England media check, yeah.
All right, there are three scenarios that can play out. The one in all likelihood, I believe, New England blows them out, wins easily, Gronk Hernandez. The other two, though, close game. The other one, Texans winning outright. I think two out of the three will happen. I'm leaning towards a close game. This is the National Football League, guys. You don't blow someone off the field twice in 6 weeks. So I look for New England to win, but I think the Texans will cover the 10. Lock it in. Let's go under. I'm just feeling under for whatever reason. Take the Texans and the under. Lock it in.
Wow. Texans
What's
and the under.
Under?
50.
50, he said, yeah.
I got the Pats in the over.
See, me too.
I get the Pats in the under.
You know, and I just, circling back to what we were talking about before, I don't trust Wade Phillips to make those similar adjustments that we saw the Jets make and the Ravens make it. And I thought there were some comments from Phillips earlier this week where it seemed like he was maybe rethinking that or backtracking off the aggressive nature they came after Brady with some of the commentary he had and compliments towards Brady about dealing with the pass rush. But if they don't do that, I'm with you, Paul. I just think he's going to pick him apart. And if he knows what's coming pre-snap, they're done.
I think the only way that the Texans can be effective defensively is if J.J. Watt and his friends are able to get pressure without that, because that's the only way I think that – I don't think they have the coverage skills beyond Joseph to do enough damage. And in this day and age, it's so hard, even when you are really gifted in terms of coverage, it's hard to shut down a good passing attack. When you have a quarterback and receivers that can perform, go ahead, Andy. It's tough to break it down.
No, I thought you were done a sentence. I wanted to hop in before Adam gets all crazy. We like to get the Twitter involved early in
yes,
the show.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hashtag PPGS if you want to discuss the conversation and join the conversation on Twitter. And Paul referencing the bad tweets out of New England, I wanted to get right to eScal with an underscore in between.
Check.
Looks like the Texans will go with all white uniforms as versus the Patriots today rather than the blue pants they use in December's blowout loss.
Yeah, I needed that.
Now, I'll add to that, please, at least today we'll actually be able to see if
the
they
poop spot
themselves in the game like they did in that game.
Zoe also added on Twitter, by the way, not one Letterman jacket is coming off the bus for this game, unlike last time around when the Patriots and Texans met up here in December.
See, that's already sign number one that they're affected mentally. I think if you're a strong mental team, you come in and you say,
F it. I'm putting my leather jacket.
What are you going to say about it? I'm going to expose myself to you making fun of me.
What if
that's
they burned
okay
them? Can't wear them if they're now ashes. Remember when Bill Belichick
buried
the ball?
Maybe
they burned their jackets.
Yeah.
That was a lot of smoke.
We should have worn our jackets today.
You burn like 100 Letterman jackets?
I saw you guys, by the way, on TV rocking the
looking
jackets
good,
the other
huh?
night. Yeah,
looking good.
It was on a loop like a billion times in a row, and I saw it. They
look I'm
good.
Sorry, but our ratings had to be huge this week.
I love how he has to, like, justify how he could have possibly seen it. It was on a loop, and I just couldn't avoid it. How about you say you watch a damn good show? I didn't say your stupid show was on a loop, and I was in the car, and my buttons were broken, and I had to listen to stupid 98.5.
My radio was stuck on
98.5. I choose to listen to you because I think you do a decent show, and I'm trying to support the product.
I listened to you Friday night on my way home from CBS Scene.
Yes.
After filming All Access, and you
fantastic
followed up the BC hockey game.
Oh, yes. Followed up a little BC hockey. It's true. BU baseball over there, Paul Perillo. Then we got Tufts football here. Andy Hart.
Yeah, but Dartmouth he had his high Dartmouth
football.
High.
Oh, that was Dartmouth High football is what you were rocking.
He's like Al Bundy.
Didn't you see the
I
colors?
Played high school football. I gave to my country.
Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398. That's how you give us a call with your thoughts on
this
game.
There's John Harbaugh.
Between
he looks an awful lot like the Niners
and
coach.
Texas looks a lot like that guy coaching in San Francisco. Let's go to Michael out in L.A. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey. I just wanted to know, did Paul and Andy wear your Letterman jackets today?
No, it's too hot. It's like 50 degrees here. We'd be sweating our cojones off.
Nah.
Oh, man, you guys should have showed the Texans how it's really worn.
They're bigger than us.
Yeah, I don't think I necessarily wanted
wouldn't
to
show
mock.
J.J. Watt poop.
I didn't want to mock them.
And I might show him poop if he looked at me and chased me.
No, I just wanted to call real quick because I wanted to tell Andy that I like you, but I hate you at the same time.
Okay, I feel the same way about you.
Yeah.
Why?
A lot of people feel that way.
I was going to say, you just summed up so many people's feelings towards Andy Hart.
I hate Andy for a good reason, because my girlfriend's totally in love with you.
Oh, nice. Is she hot?
She's your type. She has big knockers.
Nice! Tell her anytime she wants to visit the studio, she is more than welcome.
Webradio@patriots.com.
Can you send a photo of her, webradio@patriots.com, or hashtag PPGS on Twitter?
I will, but she wanted to talk to you real quick. Is that okay?
Sure.
Andy's wife on line 3.
Oh, hot.
Hello?
Hi, Andy.
Hi, who's this?
This is Elise, Michael's girlfriend.
Oh, how are you?
Fine, you?
Very good. It's very nice to speak with you.
It's very nice to speak with you, too. You're my favorite. You're, like, so blunt. I love that.
Well, thank you. I just try to tell it like it is. And from what I hear, what it is you're a very attractive young lady.
Is that what he's been telling you?
Well, actually, he said you have big knockers, but...
Oh, God.
Are you no longer dating Michael?
Can you verify that fact for us?
You are unbelievably creepy.
All right, have a good day.
All right, you too. Good luck.
Send a photo. Thanks.
I will.
That was an awkward phone call.
That was all Michael had. I really thought there was a Patriots point coming.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to have a party.
He's got me pegged, though. I like knockers.
What else do you do but go to the next phone call? Let's go to our buddy Mel.
That doesn't happen on your show.
Down in Tennessee. What's going on, Mel?
How do I follow up there?
Well, unless you have a girlfriend with big knockers who's in love with me, you can't.
Can't top it.
It's not unless she likes you because you're blunt, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's funny. But,
whatever brings the knockers, I don't care.
Need an actual photo.
I need verification.
You should know, I got a little wiener.
So what do you got today, Melvin?
Well, not much. I just have to see, what do you all think of, the last couple of years, that the Patriots kind of have, in the postseason, tend to turn the ball over. And as you can see in these playoffs this year, turn over the key and postseason or any other season or any game that you're playing. But, as I think about it, like every single game, I know of the last two or three years, now that I can think about it, the Patriots have turned the ball over every game and seeming to not find those turnovers sometimes when they're playing defense.
I think that's the issue. I'm not really worried about the offense. I don't see one of those Brady four picks or, suddenly putting the ball on the ground. I don't even see the ones that they gave up against the Texans first down time. I think that's unlikely. I am concerned these teams that ride the turnover like the Patriots have on defense, I think sometimes that can dry up in the postseason. And if it does, I think this team will be in trouble. I think that is one of the most important factors for this team winning is the ability to turn the ball over on defense.
And it's one of those things, Melvin, where you can be really good at it over the span of 16 games. And let's just say, for argument's sake, today the Patriots turn it over once and the Texans don't turn it over at all. Well, you're still plus 24 in turnover margin, but you're minus one on that day, and that might have cost you the game, and all of a sudden your playoffs are over. So that's the kind of thing that, when Adam at the beginning of the show talked about, the different scenarios that might change in the playoffs or might change the second time around, you can be very good. It's not like you're overrated, going into the postseason, but all of a sudden you play that one game where you didn't play quite as well as you had over the span of 16 games. That's all it takes. And that's what, it's so close. These teams are so even that all it would take is one day where you don't cause the turnovers, like Andy said, and maybe you cough one up and you go home.
Just for the record, Texans only threw 13 interceptions, turning the ball over via fumble four times this year. They did put 12 on the ground, but only lost four of them.
So 17 giveaways?
17
giveaways. How many did the Patriots have?
Giveaways?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I know they had an absurdly low
It was up
number,
in the high teens,
it was
I believe.
Over 10, right?
Yeah, I believe it was in the high teens. So you're talking about a team that is relatively tight with the football coming against a Patriots defense that I do think needs to turn the ball over if they're going to be at their best.
And that's something that's dried up in the last couple of postseason games for the Patriots, as you guys have hinted at, particularly in 2010. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's how you give us a call here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We are live from Gillette Stadium, taking you up to Patriots and Texans, this divisional round matchup here in Foxborough. And coming up next, we've been talking a lot from the Patriots perspective. Let's go behind enemy lines and get the view from Houston. That's next here on the Patriots pregame social on Patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Chubb is back to throw. He looks, he fires to the end zone, and it is intercepted! Taken by Devin McCourty at the 5, at the 10, right to the 15, and cut down at about the 17-yard line.
It's Devin McCourty's game-changing, you could say, interception in that one, as the Patriots went up 14-0 immediately after it, en route to a 42-14 win over the Texans back on December 10th. The call courtesy of the Patriots Radio Network. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you here on Patriots.com. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's Turkey Cheddar Bacon and Ham and Cheese Bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. We'll get back into your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Hang out there for a little bit. But right now, let's go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
And to do that, we welcome John McClain of the Houston Chronicle back to the program. John, one of the things we've been discussing with this Texans team, what's different from the last time that they got blown out here in Foxborough? In your view, what's changed with this team since that point?
Thing that's different is they have some players back. Their right tackle, Derek Newton, outside linebacker, Brooks Reed, their backup tight end, Garrett Graham, and cornerback Jonathan Joseph is in better physical condition. But those injuries were no excuse for the way they laid an egg in that first game. Mainly, they better be better prepared. They better act like it's not too big for them, and they better not commit just about every mistake you can commit, mental and physical.
John, you say they better act like it's not too big for them. Do you believe the situation is not too big for them? Do they know what it takes to come in and compete at the level necessary today?
Well, we'll find out. They've won wild card games the last 2 years, beating Cincinnati at home. And, there's a lot of teams that like to have two playoff victories. The Patriots know it's Super Bowl or bust. Houston this year said Super Bowl or bust, but you never know until that next level. They went to Baltimore last year, with a rookie fifth-string quarterback, and they lost by 7 when he played his worst game of the season. T.J. Yates threw 3 interceptions. Jacoby Jones fumbled a punt that was turned into a touchdown. So they made mistakes there, too, but at least they kept the game close. But that's because they were going against Joe Flacco and not Tom Brady.
John, I was interested, you mentioned some of the stuff that happened in the playoffs in the past. In the game yesterday with Denver, we watched Trindon Holliday and the plays that he made. And obviously he started the season with Houston. Why is he not a Houston Texan right now?
He had a great preseason, returned 3 kicks for touchdowns. When the season started, he was fumbling. He was making bad mistake decisions on coming out of the end zone. He was catching balls out of bounds at the 5-yard line. And finally, Gary Kubiak ran out of patience, and they cut him, and he went to Denver, and he's been great with the Broncos.
John, obviously one of the issues that has hurt the Texans down the stretch, and then even to some degree in the win on Wild Card Weekend, has been the red zone. What exactly has gone wrong in the red zone over the second half or last quarter of the season, and what do they need to do today to fix it?
Through the first 13 games, including the loss here, they were scored touchdowns at 65%. That was fourth in the league. Over the last 4 games, including the game against Cincinnati, 23%. Now, when they get inside the 5, they like to run. Arian Foster, he led the league in touchdowns and touchdowns rushing. But the passing game has not been crisp. Now Brady takes such one or two steps, boom, the ball's out. Matt Sopp takes 1 or 2 steps. If the ball's not out, he's going to have to throw it away. It's got to be quick hitting. He's been a little off target. Happened last week with Andre Johnson. Matt Schaub has to be more decisive and more accurate in the red zone.
How about on the other side of the ball, John? Defensively, Wade Phillips, a lot was made of how aggressive he is with his play calling. The Texans blitz a lot, and Tom Brady had a good time with that in the first meeting. Is that something that Phillips just does? Is he going to continue that aggressiveness because that's the kind of coordinator he is, or does he make some adjustments this time around?
He better make some adjustments. 3 of the 4 touchdown passes came on blitzes, and people said that they do enough to try to keep Brady off balance. They gave him too good of a pre-snap look, so he knew where he was going, and so did his receivers. You know, Wade, they played great defense against Cincinnati. They shut down A.J. Green, limited them to 9 yards passing in the first half, but they were going against Andy Dalton and not Tom Brady. And one of the things that they should do is, like, they should get on top of Welker, try to jam him to keep him from catching that quick pass and turn it upfield. And because Brady always has such a good pocket, they should try to come up the middle and get in his sideline to try to disrupt him and not try to come from the outside and get around those big tackles. So I don't know that they'll do that, but that's something they should do. And if Wade Phillips does exactly the things he did before, then shame on him.
Similar adjustment question on the other side of the ball. You know, the week after the Texans got blown out here, the San Francisco 49ers came in and got the job done, and part of that was throwing the ball down the field, making some big plays over the top early. Do you think the Texans could sort of take a little bit page out of that game plan and try to get on the board early, maybe get some plays down the field before getting the run established and some of the things they normally do?
The Patriots allowed 74 plays of 20 yards or longer. That's by far the worst in any playoff team. Texans were 3rd worst with 54. In that first game, they had 6 plays of 20 yards or longer. None were touchdowns. Brady had 3. 2 were touchdowns. So they try to get the ball down the field, but then they've got to capitalize. You won't see them throwing a long pass down the sideline to a receiver who goes 60 or 70 yards. Matt Schaub doesn't have the arm. Most of their long passes come on crossing routes, in which the receiver catches it and turns upfield, tries to get between the safety. So you'll see big plays have to be made in the 30 to 40-yard range if they're going to go longer, and it doesn't happen. This team has led the league in average time of possession the last 2 years. That's who they are. They run the ball. They throw short, intermediate routes every once in a while. They'll throw it deep when they're trying to let the safeties know, we will do this, but if you get them out of that, like the Patriots did when they jumped ahead 21-0, then you take them into a shotgun game, and that's not what Matt Schaub likes to do.
John, I'm curious. I know that a lot was made of the Boston Globe column by Dan Shaughnessy, basically saying that the Texans had no chance to win this game. How did the Texans themselves, view that? Has it been a huge source of motivation, or is the confidence still sort of reeling from the first meeting? How did they take that?
Well, nobody in Houston thinks they're going to win either, and they've written it, but people don't take cheap shots at them, and everybody's taking them to lose, and they know it. And like the front of our special section yesterday was nothing but negative comments from the Chronicle, from the band's column, from radio, TV. The whole thing was nothing but negative comments toward the Texans. And, of course, if they would still read the newspaper, I hope some of them still do, they would see that on their ride up to Boston. So they're aware of it. People ask them about it all week. I told Arian Foster, I said, Dan Shaughnessy could not have hired a PR agency and paid them six figures to get the kind of publicity and new followers on Twitter as you gave him by putting his column on your avatar. I said, so I'm going to rip the hell out of you next week if you'll do that to me. And I think he actually thought he was doing Dan some damage instead of a favor.
Oh, thanks, Arian Foster. Yeah. before we let you out of here, John, let's just get a prediction on how you see this thing shaking out.
I predicted the Patriots 31-20.
All right, nice and concise and in line with our thinking here as well. He's John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Thanks so much for taking the time, John.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks, John McClain joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. This NFL divisional matchup between the Houston Texans and the New England Patriots is brought to you by Pepsi. Patriots fans can download the Pepsi Patriots Anthem at www.pepsianthems.com, which Andy and Paul, they've already taken care of doing all the downloading there. We'll get back into your phone calls here.
508-298-0398.
We can also take your thoughts here on the game. But right now, as you like to do during the pregame social, want to check in with a member of one of our fan clubs.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
Got a good tailgate?
Oh, man, they have Planet One album party.
Think you're the loudest group at Gillette?
Woo!
It's time we find out as we hear from our fan club of the week.
Joining us from the Storage Unit Pats fan club is Jeff Hutchinson. And Jeff, we need some insight here on this name. What's that all about?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Welcome aboard.
Great. Yeah, so actually, it's the Clubhouse Unit as the official Pats fan club. But we also have our Pats Tailgating Storage Unit Facebook page. And, we call ourselves a motley crew that's been together, some of us as long as 15, 20 years, all tailgating from P11 across the street, and then slowly got our, pushed out as our lovely owner continued to buy up parking spaces and parking lots. So, from going to the old Outlaw Barbecue and slowly working our way out, we've landed over at the storage place, the Guardian Self Storage now, and we've been there for the past 4 years. And, myself, I joined the group about 8 or 9 years ago now. And we thought, what better way to extend our tailgating pleasure than to rent 6 storage units, get about 19 of us together, and then every week during the game have about a 7-hour party pregame, 4-hour party after game with basically anything you can imagine that wouldn't be at a normal tailgating function.
Wow, so you actually party out of the storage units, like the grills and everything are kept in there?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've got 6 units. It's about 1,200 square feet total.
Awesome.
We'll be there in about 10 minutes.
65-inch television, 2 grills. One of them's about 6 feet long. The other one's 4 feet. We've got a couple other televisions, 32-inch televisions that we use as well, so we can catch all the pregame action as well as the other games going on before we actually start up.
Genius.
From karaoke to black lights, you name it, we've got it. Couches. It's a crazy setup.
You got a pole? What's funny?
Too many of us are married or we're about to be married, so I don't know that the wives would like that.
When I first heard the name of the group, I actually. That's the first thing I thought of. One of them rents a storage unit and they put a big TV in there and they. I was kind of half joking in my mind. Like,
plus, you're in like a secure location, right? Like.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We rent it year round. It's a year round lease. So we actually party there throughout the year when I was off the town or there's other concerts in town.
Yeah, yeah, you guys are obviously married. I can tell. It's all making sense now.
Yeah, so it's great time. You know, we even have cleanup parties that we have to get out there and quote unquote clean the place for a few hours. You know, every few months just to make sure that everything's in order. That
you might is party. Sick. You might party too much when you have to have a cleanup party.
That is phenomenal, though. I give A for creativity, and maybe this is an idea you can turn into money, like where you can, like, you know, sell this out, sublet, I don't know, rent out a bunch of them. This is a...
You know, it's funny, we weren't the first. There's been people that had done it before us even, but I think we're probably, on any given week, we have between 60 and 70 people, you know, pregame, and then after the game, usually anywhere from, you know, 30 to 40. So we have a pretty big crew. We always burn the pennant that you'll see pictures online as well of the opposing team, and sometimes other acts are done to the opposing team's mock jerseys or pennants that we have, and... We make sure that you know, the music's playing loud every game.
So where are you today? It sounds awful quiet. Where's the party today?
Yeah, well, my lovely fiance ended up getting me a Christmas present, which was a weekend in Niagara Falls. So unfortunately, it happened to go inside, you know, in the same time as the Pats game today. So it was the first postseason game I'm missing in about 9 years.
She better be very lovely for what she did to you today. Good Lord. Good Lord.
We couldn't ask for better weather, but no, we actually just got home about 10 minutes ago, so I'm comfortably sitting in my home ready to have my own local tailgate.
So are you confident today? You think it's going to be a blowout? You concerned? Where is your mood
now? I think that Houston comes in with an advantage just with a chip on their shoulder being blown out and embarrassed the last time. And I think that in any sporting event, when you beat a team that badly, you don't always, you know, you underestimate them a little bit coming in the second time, whether you want to admit it or not. It's just tough to get that same type of, you know, amped up than if we had lost to them the opposite role, you know, a month ago. But I think the Pats will squeak it out. You know, 31-23 is my prediction on it. I think that we'll have two scores, and Houston will be driving late like we've seen a lot of the games this year end up, where we hope the defense is going to hold them to getting any closer, and it will end that way.
All right, man. Well, enjoy the game, and we're waiting for our invitation to one of these storage unit get-togethers.
Hey, you guys are welcome anytime. You know, we did a deep-fried turkey with all the fixings for Thanksgiving. Wow. We've done a lobster bake. We've done a pig roast. We've had, you know, anywhere from braised lamb to, you know, a 5-pound rib roast. You know, we have a deep fryer, a slow cooker. I mean, you name it, we've got the ability to make it. So you're always more than welcome.
All right. Well, it's Jumbo Heart on Twitter, at Jumbo Heart on Twitter. Next event, shoot me an invitation.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
All right, Jeff, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for giving us a call.
That is a phenomenal idea because it's not that far.
I think we need to have a Northeastern basketball storage party.
So, why does it always have to turn to Loserville?
NCAA tournament, Perillo. We'll go check it out.
They're a pretty new club, too.
It's really cool.
I met Jeff outside, or somebody in Jeff's club outside of a game here, and he had asked me about it.
It's very cool. I think you don't have to truck all the crap in.
Some of
it's
the pictures
right
they
there.
Said, it's unbelievable what they have
1,200
inside
square feet of tailgating fun.
Pretty nice little
and
setup.
It's what, a mile? Not even. Less than a mile, maybe?
Yeah, it's like a half a mile to get there.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I might not even leave to go to the game. I might just hang
out
there. Yeah.
Game? I might not even leave to go home.
We're talking about a game.
Square feet of
a game.
Fun.
Talking about a party.
I love how they go there, you know, just every once in a while just because.
By the way, Twitter
cleanup party.
Twitter is abuzz with the Red Sox wishing luck to the Patriots. Have you guys seen this right now? The official Red Sox are sending good luck.
Why don't you retweet
Sox.
That and hashtag it PPGS so
either.
Everybody
just,
can
I'm
see
seeing
it.
It all over the place.
Retweet it.
Red Sox trolling for a little buzz here during the Patriots game. I'll do it. I can't speak and tweet all at the same time.
You can barely speak. I understand that.
Exactly. Still a lot of you hanging out on the phones. 508-298-0398. That's how you give us a call here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame socials. We take you up to Patriots and Texans. Your thoughts on the game going there. We'll also get to some emails, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go back to the phones. Johnny is in L.A. What's going on, Johnny?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up? You ready?
I'm ready, yeah. Something happened to me yesterday for the first time. I'm 36 years old.
Did you meet a woman?
Are you like Eric?
Did you meet a woman?
God, not even close, guys.
Good for you.
I've been meeting women for a long time, but yesterday I got thrown out of a bar for the first time.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It was amazing.
How'd you do that?
Wearing a Patriots jersey?
It set this celebration after the Broncos lost.
Really?
Okay, well, hang on one sec. Just time out.
That story got disappointing enough.
The inactives, according to the New England Patriots.
Hold on, please.
Jake Beckett, known as Mr. Inactive. Nick McDonald, Marcus Zusevics, Kamar Aiken,
Malcolm Williams, Derek Martin, Dan Fells.
Wow.
So the only big name on there is Daniel Fells.
Danny Fells.
Other than that, it's your typical inactives. Patriots healthy, raring to go coming out of the bye.
That tells me Gronk's 100% healthy. If Daniel Fells is inactive, that tells me that Rob Gronkowski is 100% healthy.
Okay, you heard it from the poll center. Matthew LePan says Daniel, no, what's his name? Rob Gronkowski.
Do you guys agree with that?
I thought Gronkowski.
Fells inactive, is that an indication either way that Gronk is
not
healthy?
Really, because he's been an irrelevant.
Yeah, I'm
piece.
With them, LePan. I'm out on
he's
that.
He's been inactive when Gronk was out.
Umanawa Nui has been the extra guy in that tight end fullback.
Yeah, we're on the big screen right now.
I believe Gronk is healthy because I've been trying to sell people on
the mental
it was a
aspect.
Mental issue
know,
last week. Now, I'll let you know.
Because it was Gronkowski. Nah. It was Hernandez. He'd be a meow.
Oh, that bar is giving me energy. So, I was so hungry.
Not even a hint of argument from him.
when you say you think that he's healthy, healthier than what we saw a couple weeks ago, close to what we saw earlier in the season, how not that we know the answer to
I
that.
I think he's healthy. He's not physically strong because you can't be. You can't have a broken forearm and miss 6 weeks
and say, I'll be fine.
But I don't think he is hurt.
He's probably healthy enough to be productive.
Weaker.
So we're not talking Super Bowl Gronkowski.
No,
I don't think so.
I think you're
going to
see him limited in his blocking. I still don't think he's going to be as powerful and dominant a blocker because he hasn't done it much. Even last week, he did it with one arm. So you can't ask him to just, oh, he's going to be great. Hey, you take J.J. Watt on this. Help me out here. All that. But I think in terms of catching passes, running down the field, making plays, and helping, chipping, doing whatever on blocks, I think he's fine. Did we drop the Johnny?
We did.
Oh. Thanks for the call, Johnny. Sorry that the inactives interrupted your chat.
Getting kicked out of bars. And the Falcons just got in the end zone again there?
They did, 27-7. How bad has Matt Ryan been in the postseason for the Falcons? He just went over the 200-yard mark, the first time he's done so in the postseason. You think about how many points they've lost their games by and how you can rack up some phony yardage and he's never even thrown for 200 yards in a playoff game. That's tough. But he's played well today. The Gronkowski, I want to say that there was at least a game or two that Gronk was inactive, that Fells was also inactive. He is, and I don't really have an explanation for it, but for whatever reason, they've decided the Who-Man has a more value. Probably versatility. He does pretty much everything. Oh, I misspoke. It's 26-7. The Seahawks just blocked the extra point.
I've done that before. No worries there. Quickly on Gronkowski, the Patriots' numbers.
The worst way to lose a game, Paul, get a kick blocked.
Check that. Offside, defense.
Paul Perillo, play-by-play.
well, I don't want to give out bad information. Well, they did. I didn't give out bad information. They blocked the extra point.
To the Gil Santos School of Broad. Check that.
No, I didn't say it's a good field goal. Extra point. That would be a Gil Santos.
Back to Gronkowski
lining
here.
Up from 42, 35, 41. I don't know the kicker. Billy Hogan!
Direct snap is down. Quickly on the...
Handoff to
on
no
the,
one.
On the Gronkowski thing.
You might want to watch it. You work for this team.
On the Gronkowski thing. We've seen their rushing
attack... We're trying to.
We've seen the rushing attack fall off over the last 5 weeks of the season. They averaged under 4 yards a carry. How much of that is...
Someone
teams figuring out the Patriots running, and how much of that is not having Gronkowski either out there or even at 100% blocking in the rushing attack?
I think the Gronkowski factor is definitely a part of that. He's a dominant blocker when he's right. So clearly that is at least part of the equation. But I do think, Adam, they've figured out some of the stuff, some of the ways the Patriots have been running the ball. And... You know, particularly when Ridley's out there, I think they feel like there's more of a chance. And, I think Woodhead out of the spread formations is still one of those wild card guys that can make some plays once in a while. And I really like the way they've used him over the last, say, 4 to 6 weeks, where it's not like 14 carries like we saw in that 2010 playoff game against the Jets, but it's 3 or 4 carries, 2 or 3 passes, and he can make some plays in that kind of a limited role. Ridley, I think, has now garnered some more attention from opposing defenses. And, you know, listen, when you late in the year, when you're trying to run late in the game, it's hard to do that. I mean, you know, see what Denver did yesterday, and I know it shouldn't have come to that. But, you know, running the ball 5 straight times at the end of that game, I don't think that's a realistic way to move the chains and run out the clock. I don't think you can do that in this day and age. So the fact that Ridley's numbers have gone down at this time of year is not overly surprising to me. But you got to make sure you hold on to the football, protect that, and you know, mix it in here and there.
Quickly, since you brought up the game yesterday with Denver, obviously the Patriots have to take care of business here against Houston, but with what Baltimore's done the past couple of weeks, when you look at them coming on here and changing their offensive coordinator and going from Cameron to Jim Caldwell, how dangerous is that team next week?
Well, I think Baltimore is dangerous because of their mentality. And everything that we just spent the first hour of the show talking about with Houston, the opposite is true of Baltimore. Baltimore just flat out thinks they're better than you. And they don't care where they play. They've won at home. They've won on the road. They have confidence. And they're gonna, and right now, I think they're playing with a little extra for Lewis. And, you know, make of that what you will. You know, dismiss it as irrelevant. I don't. I think it's part of what they're doing right now. I think that that's a dangerous team. I think, listen, for a Patriot, from the Patriot side, to me, you'd rather play at home than on the road. In terms of opponents, I think you got the tougher opponent for the Patriots. I think this is a tougher matchup for the Patriots than Denver would have been. But I would rather play Baltimore at home than Denver on the road. So in that regard, it was a good result yesterday for the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Denver on the road was going to be a very difficult game. I know everybody was poo-pooing Denver, and I mean, they still put up points, yards, and made plays, and I think those points, yards, and plays
they clearly should have won
would
the
have
game.
Come in bunches against the Patriots, too. So I think it would have been an interesting, very interesting matchup. I'm obviously disappointed just because of the Manning-Brady thing.
Yeah,
you know, that's history in the making. That could have been another chapter in the future NFL film special.
Ruined a good cover that we had already done.
Yes, we
what
had.
Was it? What was it?
Well, it just had Brady and Manning on it.
Well,
you know,
but
Brady,
it looked
Brady
like the
Manning
Super Bowl
4
logo
IV
with, like, the italic,
with all the Super Bowl stuff.
It looked really nice. But
it looked good.
You'll never see it now.
A lot of, you know, unfortunately, Maura, if you're listening, you did a great job. It will never see the light of day. Maybe we can have them printed out and we'll sell them as, you know, one of those
commemorative.
Well, you know, one of those things that never happens, kind of niche.
Could have been, should have been. Send it to Africa.
Right. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Right, like Patriots Super Bowl 46,
you know,
champion,
like,
T-shirts,
yeah,
like that time.
You know, everybody in Africa needs,
Guatemala.
A 2007 Patriots Super Bowl champion shirt, mm-hmm, a laptop, because Tom Brady made sure everybody had laptops, and then a PFW cover.
I forgot about that.
That's
Tom
true.
Brady.
Quickly, with Peyton Manning, that's the second check for Tom Brady.
I just can't believe you're looking past the Texans.
With I'm not. I said,
I'm just falling
business,
in line with everybody else. I mean, if John McClain can't find anybody in Houston who's
yeah, but that falls in line with what they've seen from them. That's the disbelief of the psyche and the ability. I think there's still a chance that they get that bump, whatever that bump is,
yeah,
early. Jonathan Joseph catches one in stride, pick six, it's 7-0, and then all of a sudden they play to their talent instead of their psyche. To me, that's what they need to do. They need to play to their talent and not to their psyche.
Yeah.
And I don't know who the guy is. I find it, you know, Ray Lewis is like the great inspirational force of the Ravens, and everything kind of fuels off of him. And to me, J.J. Watt is every bit that person, player mentality. And I don't know if he's not vocal enough to be that for that team. But to me, it kind of falls on his shoulders. He's the best player on your team, the most energetic, workhorse player on the team. Somehow he needs to instill that in the rest of them, that belief that he has. Because I firmly believe every play he thinks, this is my play. I'm going to own it, whether it's a forced fumble, a pick, a sack. I own this play. If he could instill that in the other 52 guys, I think they could win, because I think they have the talent to make plays and to compete. They don't have the mentality.
I totally agree with that last sentence, 100%. And if this game were played
five
weeks ago...
Your mother likes my sentence.
Unbelievable. He's so inappropriate. If this game were played 5 weeks ago...
Yes. That's why the big knockers girl likes me.
I would have a whole different outlook on this game. I would be looking at it as a toss-up game. And matter of fact, I'd venture to guess that the spread would probably be about 3. The Las Vegas spread would probably be about 3 if this game was played before these teams had met.
Mm-hmm.
But based on what happened in December and based on what's happened to the Texans since then, Andy's point about the mental element is dead on.
Got to start fast. Got to start fast.
Absolutely. If something bad happens, it's just like this Atlanta game. Atlanta got off to a good start today. If they didn't, if Seattle jumped out quickly, I think it could have really snowballed on Atlanta, because mentally – They're dealing with a whole bunch of baggage from their playoff failures of the past.
Speaking of Atlanta, let's head down there and talk to Joe at 508-298-0398. What do you got, Joe?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Joe. You jacked?
Yeah, I'm jacked. Right now I'm going through a car wash. My wife sent me out to wash her car.
Jesus. She asked you to pick up some tampons on the way back, too? Crying out loud.
Well, no, she's pregnant, so.
Oh, jeez. Stop. It was a joke. I don't need the details.
As usual, Andy Hart crosses the line.
Definitely.
Good Lord. Well, if you really want me to cross the line, I'll say, is, are her breasts swollen?
If you want him to cross the line.
All right, so what do you got for the game
today?
That
wasn't the question, just more of a statement.
If he were to cross the line, that's what he would hypothetically say. Yeah.
That's fine. I forgive him.
Thank you.
I don't know if you guys can hear me, but it's really loud in this car
wash. We got you.
You actually sound great for someone who's going through a car wash. Yeah. I wish half our callers would go through a car wash.
No, but guys, honestly, I think the Patriots need to – I hope they looked at the Denver and the Ravens games last night, because Denver showed them how to lose. So I just hope that the Patriots' players was watching that game, because Denver had the game in the bag, and they lost the game at the end. And honestly, I really thought Denver had it from the beginning, but obviously they couldn't finish the game. But I think it's going to be a good game. I think if we can stop the run, Texans can't beat us. Texans can't beat us. And I think the score is going to be I think it's going to be close. I'm going to say 27-24. We win by 3 points.
Wow. Ooh, a tight one.
27-24 is the prediction from Joe. Quickly,
I hope so. I'm looking forward to a good game. I'd like to see a good game.
I would love to see a good game, but I don't think we're going to.
I don't think so either. Andy had the under. No, excuse me. You had them.
No, Andy had the under. 28-13.
But you had Patriots covering is what I meant.
Cover in the under.
We all have Patriots covering, so we don't expect it to be that type of game. Quickly on what he said, with the Patriots stopping the run. I agree with that. They did it the first time against Foster. He caught some passes underneath.
Yeah, they
but for the most part,
yeah, the scoreboard did it more than their defense
did.
Okay.
And that's why.
And Gerard Mayo basically said that this week. I mean, it's hard to say you shut somebody down, even though you did, but they start the game with two 15-yard runs or a 15 and a 12, even though one was brought back for the illegal formation, which was sort of the first step towards
unraveling.
We pooped ourselves. But I think it was the score. You couldn't keep Foster going, couldn't keep dedicated to your game plan. And I also think if they can do what I want them to do, or expect them to try to do, if you come out, and I heard somebody this week say, you know, isn't the play-action game really predicated on getting the run going? No.
No.
The play-action game was predicated on you being able to run. Not this game.
The other team
but
thinking you
time.
Can run, yeah.
Everyone knows Arian Foster can run anytime he wants. If you look at their postseason games, it's 130, 140, 140. If you look at his regular season, it's 1,400 and change, whatever the hell it is. Right. They're a running team. So the linebackers have to respect the play-action from the very first snap. Doesn't mean you can't throw first and run later. So if you do that, you'll open more up with the safeties a little deeper and sort of that part. So again, I get back to they have the tools. They just don't have the psyche.
Yeah, you know, opposing defenses look at the Texans and they're prepared to stop the run. If you were playing, say, Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers comes out play action pass on the first play, it's probably not going to be that effective because they don't generally run. You're geared up to stop the pass. So absolutely, you can play action pass before you establish any sort of running game within a game when you run the ball the way. There's our buddy. They just showed some punt passing kick winners, and I think our buddy from New England, from Connecticut, was shown.
Via Africa, right?
Yeah, isn't that him?
Yeah, I believe that is. Yeah, he's got a Patriots jersey on. That's our boy.
So
Hebron, Connecticut.
Matiwas Rumley. Yeah.
Congratulations. He was a champion. Excellent.
Yes, good job, Matiwas. Just wanted to say real quick, there's a bit of a spitting controversy on the internet. Real Freeman CBS, what's his name?
Mike Freeman.
Wants to know if anyone actually saw J.J. Watt spit on the Pats logo. So apparently there's some confusion as to whether, because he was out there doing, remember that thing we saw, Paul, where he was ridiculously catching passes one-handed?
Yes.
Like rockets just reaching his palm out and clawing them like a bear with a fish. Well, apparently after that, he spit on the logo or something. So, you know, if you're looking for a little added disrespect or reason to beat up or kick their ass, he spit on the logo.
Arian Foster spit on the logo. We should use that. Yeah. Snug it on his Patriots pregame social.
You really got a hair across your. He doesn't. You guys had some static in the past.
A quality program?
Well, I know we used to have a show, but you guys have had some static, right?
No, Shag? No, me and Shaughnessy get along well.
The CHB?
I just do my Shaughnessy impression. It's a Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Is it a good one? I can't even think of his voice.
Paul Perillo.
That's perfect. His is good. Babe Ruth rolling over his grave.
Babe Ruth spinning in his grave. Yeah. We're live from the Subway Fresh
we're
Broadcast
live.
Studio inside Gillette Stadium here.
Because no one would spend the time taping this crap.
Lottie hanging out on the phones, 508-298-0398. We encourage you to do that, and we encourage you to give us a call here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. We've been talking a lot about this matchup. Let's get the guys' keys to the game next. You're on Patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots pregame social.
Well, Andy Hart and Adam Jones are here anyway.
Paul had a growing problem.
Yeah, Paul. Just impeccable timing. bolts out of the studio right
prostate when we're kicked in. He's going to take a leak.
We're coming back for hour
He's
number
down
two.
Down to half a bottle of Diet Coke.
That was like Diet Pepsi.
I mean, Diet Pepsi.
There's about an inch left in that.
Diet Pepsi.
That's what she said. Ayo.
It's hour number two of the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones and Andy Hart. You can hear the voices of Matt LePan and Kevin Collins. Those are four out of five of us in studio here. We're live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Yeah, what the heck? Let's go over to the Pulse Center. What do you got, LePan?
Put him on the spot.
Not paying attention. Sorry.
This guy.
Yeah, you know. So the new poll is who will be the biggest problem for the Patriots today?
Andre Johnson.
I have Andre Johnson, J.J. Watt, Arian Foster, Matt Schaub, Brooks Reed, Jonathan Joseph.
That's interesting. If they win, I think Schaub has to be part of it. But the obvious candidates are Johnson or Watt.
What about Jonathan Joseph?
Yeah. What's he going to do, take away Brandon Lloyd? Eh, big whoop. Brandon Lloyd takes away Brandon Lloyd half the time.
Question on Andre Johnson. Because my theory here is, remember how the Patriots opened that game on December 10th was Aqib Talib following him all over the field and lining up wherever Andre Johnson lined up. If we don't see that, is that an indication that Talib isn't 100%, or could that be something else?
That could be changing it up, you know, giving something for Schaub to think about, or deciding Talib's not good enough to do that. And that would be my answer. You know, even though I think he got hurt diving, knocking the ball away from Johnson.
He got hurt in that game.
Probably his best play as a Patriot. I would say that's better than the interception he had against Andrew Luck, who just threw it and hit him in the chest and he returned it. But to me, I haven't seen anything to tell me that I want to match up Talib with Johnson since he's been here. You know, I know they're much better when he's out there, but to me, that's as much circumstantial as it is his production. I'd be scared of that matchup. We talked about yesterday, Champ Bailey was matched up, and it didn't work out well. And he's a hell of a lot better than Aqib Talib. So, you know, if you're Matt Schaub, and in the back of your mind, your coach has told you, we got to take some shots. And then you know Aqib Talib is one-on-one with Johnson. To me, that makes it a more palatable option, and maybe that works out better for them. So I'd be more open to the Patriots playing defense, doing what they do, zone, left and right, kind of just going with it rather than saying that's a matchup we think we can win, because I'm not sure you do win that matchup.
Let's knock out some of these phone calls. Our buddy Fat Tony is on the line, 508-298-0398. What do you got, Tony?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
This is our second caller with Big Knockers.
What are you talking about? That's terrible, Andy. You're so inappropriate.
I know. I try.
I miss you guys.
How you doing? What are you guys up to today? You get a big bash ready?
Oh, you know what? I'm stuck in traffic on Route 1. I had to work till 2 o'clock.
Come on.
So everybody's down here enjoying themselves. I'm getting tweets and texts that the weather's beautiful and there's thousands of people out there and all the women are dressed in scantily clad clothes.
Nice.
And it's really bugging me, but I'm stuck in traffic on Route 1. So I hope you can hear me. Okay, I'm using my hands-free thing here.
Easy now.
I just wanted to call and say hello. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Is this thing on?
It's the voice of Paul Perillo being back in studio, by the way.
He's done tinkling. Paul? Did you pee in a sink?
No, I went to the bathroom.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, you've been known to pee in a sink during the pregame.
Hello.
There's absolutely nothing sacred to Andy Hart.
You guys there?
We are.
Didn't we have something we wanted to tell Fat Tony?
What?
We did, Fat Tony.
We've got a big honor to bestow upon you and all your...
Is that my friend Matt LePan?
That is your friend Matt.
Are you paying attention now, Matt?
Yep.
Yes.
So you may not be with your club, but when you get to your club, let them know that the Water Buffalo Tailgate Club has been named the 2012 PPGS Fan Club of the Year.
All right. Well done.
Time for the Richard Sherman golf clap.
Bring it, Adam and Paul, from sausages really does the trick.
That's true.
I was going to say, we're going to pretend it's because
it's very
you guys
true.
Have a very charitable-based organization, but really it's because you fed us.
It was payola, essentially, is what that worked
funny.
Out to be. Yeah.
That's funny as hell. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate that.
Make sure you spread the word, though, when you get to your peeps, the Buffaloes, the fellow Buffaloes.
Send us a picture, too, Fat Tony.
Send you some pictures.
Awesome.
And hopefully we'll get up there, you know, next week or something, because I think we're going to be playing next week. There's a football game today.
I think we are going to be playing next week, but I like how you said it. You don't just say, we'll definitely see you next week. I like how you say it. I'm confident today,
but I don't want to give them anything more to talk about. So we'll just say what we have to say on the field today.
I hear you. And we'll get J.J. Watt for spitting on the logo, which he reportedly did.
I don't know. That might be a little rhetoric. You know, Patriots fans are kind of out of control when it comes to the Texans.
Really? They kind of see what they want to see.
I think you're right. Hey, one thing before I go, I just wanted to congratulate Andy.
Thank you.
And say that I'm going to call you frequently, but the stadium where you were the other day is not my stomping ground.
I don't know what we're talking about.
No, that was Adam.
Adam, I'm sorry.
Adam, at the stadium or something?
Yeah, we were in South Boston. Yeah, we missed out on you
swinging
by, Fat
Tony.
Oh,
the stadium. Yeah, where were you?
Yeah, that was the night the Alabama Crimson Tide rolled over those other guys. I don't know who those were.
Yeah. Correct.
The Fightless Irish.
It was quite the game. It was quite the game.
Hey, guys, thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Enjoy the game.
Appreciate it. If anybody wants to see us in action, we're going to be at the Two Dead Presidents Chili Cook-Off on February 17th, after we win the Super Bowl.
Woo!
We're going to be over there cooking some chili. So if anybody wants to stop by the Commonwealth Restaurant in Quincy, it's going to be a big day.
Excellent. Sounds good. We'll send everybody over. Paul will be there.
Paul?
I think you and I will be in Indy.
You're all right.
Oh, yeah.
Even
we'll be in Indy.
From Everett.
See you, Tony.
All right. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks for the phone call,
man.
Fat Tony.
Appreciate it, everybody.
And
which two dead presidents is that?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. It's got to be the Quincy's.
Oh, all right.
Right?
The Adams's?
The Adams is what I meant. Quincy Adams.
I was just going Quincy
MD.
I was going with Washington and Lincoln, but it's around the time of
got to be the Adamses, not the Quincy's.
But,
yeah.
but in Quincy, it probably yeah.
It's probably the Adamses, not the Quincy's.
Probably not the Quincy's.
Not the Quincy Carters. It's to commemorate a short-lived career as a quarterback of the Cowboys.
By the way, it could be game on in Atlanta.
I just saw a pick.
So was he was he inbounds?
It looked like he was inbounds. Okay. It was blatant pass interference that they didn't call. I don't quite understand why.
It was Earl Thomas with the interception, and it was Ryan taking a shot down the field, and Thomas just came over and made a play. I wasn't 100% sure he was inbounds.
Strange play calling there by the Falcons. They got a first down coming off that that last touchdown by Seattle, and then they ran an end around to Julio Jones that lost one.
The yard, yep.
Doesn't seem like a really good play call against a very fast defense. And then they throw a bomb where he was sort of really in a groove, picking up those underneath crossing routes. And now all of a sudden, look at it happen. You know,
Spitgate is growing. Our friend over at WEEI Trags. Mike Petralia.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can confirm that J.J. Watt just expectorated on the Patriots logo at midfield. I think that means spit, right?
I don't know.
Because when you try to get unsick, you get expectorant.
Gotcha.
So
what's
he clamped
chewing
on the field?
Chewing is masticate.
Easy now.
Masticate.
Whoa,
expectorate,
where are we going here?
Is definitely spitting.
Big fan of masticating. Definitely. we're taking you up to Pats and Texans here, divisional
round. I'm not comfortable
round
with this line
on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Now that Paul Perillo's back in studio, let's get the guy's keys to the game.
Well, he heard a break was not coming, so he left.
You've waited all week
I
for
couldn't
it.
Wait anymore.
No,
it's unbelievable.
Wait. Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
They never stop talking. Let's hear what you guys think about this one. What do you got?
That's the beauty of us.
Listen, the key to the game for the Patriots is to get off to a fast start.
He never got to go first again after last week.
Oh, you're right. Andy, okay. What's your key? What do you got?
I don't know. I wasn't ready.
The key to the game for the Patriots is to get off to a fast start and make Houston just to start thinking about that Monday night beatdown in December. I think if you do that, you come out. This might be one of those rare games that I know Bill won't do it. He'll defer if he wins the toss. But he might want to get the ball first, go down, score, and I think you might be really close to game, set, match because I think Houston is very, very fragile. Mentally and
fragile.
I think it could spiral out of control.
So
fast start.
I am going to go with. I don't know if it's a key so much as it is a person. Don't let Matt Shaw beat you. I think it's very simple. Don't let him feel comfortable. You know, get some pressure on him. Get some confusion in his reads. Don't give him easy plays over the top because I think we saw Joe Flacco back in whatever week that was, 3-5-2-1, somewhere early in the season when they lost. He was literally just dropping back and throwing to a spot, just lobbing it up and saying, my guy's going to beat your guy. Now, at the time, obviously, the guy was Devin McCourty, and now Devin McCourty's a safety, and I think the secondary's better. But is that the Turbinator?
It is.
The Turbinator must not be stopped.
I thought I was the only one that did that.
Robert Turbin just put the Seahawks inside the 5-yard line with 9 minutes to go, looking to tighten the game up. 27-21 is about to happen.
Did this game get an official Paul Perillo nod, by the way, or no?
No.
It didn't. After that Falcons touchdown, you didn't? 27-7, there was no nod? Okay.
But don't let Schaub beat you, because I think the only way that the Texans can win this game is for Schaub to beat the Patriots, to make plays, do things that I don't think he's comfortable doing. You can complete 76% of your passes all you want. Doesn't mean you make plays, and you have to make plays to beat the Patriots. What?
Good stuff. So not a Not a slow
so
start.
Good, the host just tuned out.
I think he needs to get off to a fast start if you're the Patriots.
I thought Paul had some.
No, that's what I said.
Well, 508-298-0398. You can call in with your keys as the Seahawks pull within a possession of the Atlanta
now,
Falcons,
Adam,
at the Georgia Dome.
What I said earlier was it would be interesting if Seattle won this game by a point, 28-27.
It completely baffled the host.
That's not what you said. If it was a one-point game, and I was like, how the heck is Atlanta or Seattle going to lose by one? That was what I thought. But
yeah,
you're
completely baffling the host at 27-7. How it could be a one-point game?
In my head, it was impossible that Atlanta could blow the game. I gave it the Jones nod, apparently, but Perillo.
Seattle scored the first drive of the second half.
I should have followed your lead. Let's get back to the phone calls. 508-298-0398. Big Al is down in Georgia.
Nice.
What do you got, Big Al?
Fellas, how you doing?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, you know, I got to admit, yesterday I was pretty conflicted about how I wanted that thing to go in Denver. Usually, I'm pretty good about coming up with my, you know, evil agenda about what's going to serve the Patriots' interest, you know, the best.
Yep.
In terms of playoffs or even regular season, you know. And, you know, I got to admit, I part of my brain was thinking, of course we'd want a home game next week. But then I'm thinking, geez, you know, Brady and Manning 2.0, that's pretty good too. So I was 50-50 on that, but you know, I guess at the end of the day, it's great to have the possibility of another home game next week.
Well, plus the factor of the little bit of fear of the Ravens. They beat you earlier this year, and last year they should have beaten you, and the two guys that made sure they didn't beat you are no longer on the Ravens roster, and the, you know, Ray Lewis, just lack of fear. You know, they're the mm-hmm. anti-Texans coming in here. You know, they may not be good enough, but damn it, they believe they are.
You're right, and so you got to give them props for that. And then, of course, as an old school Pats fan like I am, we just have this phobia about Denver. You know, I don't know if that's rational or not, but you know, going back to, you know, you can go not just Elway, but Floyd Little and Rick Upchurch and everybody. You know, we just don't like playing in Denver. But then you've got Manning and Brady. I mean, it was just a tough call. But look, we're going to win this thing today.
Okay.
We're going to win. It's going to be close, and. And, Paul, as much as I admire you, as a fine Italian-American, Paul, you know, Columbus Day is my third favorite holiday. It really is. Behind Christmas and July 4th, right in there is Columbus Day.
Okay.
So, nothing personal, Paul. But I don't think that you can really go by this first game. That was their third straight road game when they played in Foxborough on the Monday night.
Yeah, not really going by the first game as much as I am the last month.
Okay. All right, good.
You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
You know, the first game started it, but their response to it tells me that they're mentally fragile.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, they lost three out of their last four, but so did Baltimore. Baltimore lost three out of their last four.
Yeah, but Baltimore dumped the last one, and the one before that, they blew out the Giants. That, to me, was an impressive win.
All right.
You know, and listen, it's one of those things, and I'm going to sound hypocritical. I keep saying it doesn't happen until it happens. You know, if Houston comes in here and wins the game, then, you know, that's all it takes is one good game. And all of that stuff that I just talked about doesn't mean anything over the last 5 weeks.
It's a postseason. Lose and go home.
One game. That's all it takes. And
that's for all the marbles.
You can change your mindset. I don't eliminate.
That's why you play the game.
I don't eliminate Houston's chance to win.
I think we're going to win. I just think it's going to be closer than Monday night.
I would be surprised if they won by 28 again.
Oh, I'd be stunned.
Yeah.
Stone cold stunned.
Fellas, have a great day.
All right, see you, Al.
Big Al, we appreciate the
call.
Big Al,
Big Al, great call.
Fat Tony, Big Al,
0398.
He's in the greater Valdosta area. He has. Yeah. What's about the team he likes? Valdosta State.
State. Yeah. Big time division.
Girls softball.
Two power. National
won
champs.
The national title.
Softball and something else. Nice. Football. Division two football.
Their football team is like a division two powerhouse the past like 30 years.
Strong. Let me tell you something. This game is seriously on in Atlanta. Ryan is just all over the place. Very BC like.
Matty Ice Melt.
This is
Matty Ice Melt.
It's like the ACC championship game all over again. It's what's going on right here.
Except this matters.
Yeah, they're Votek.
This is looking like the 2010 Green Bay game.
They're Votek. He's still Boston College. We can get back to the phone calls here in a moment, but
I'm getting jacked up. This is making me more jacked up. The fact that this game is close and they're going down to the wire, because now you'll have three playmaking games, you know, good games this week. Unlike last weekend when it was all
duds.
absolute crap on a plate. This makes me believe we're going to see another good game. Although, what are the chances all four are good games?
Good point.
This one's going to end up being a blowout, I think.
The Falcons may just hand them.
They're
the
actually
ball
moving
let them,
backwards.
Let them go right into the end zone as they keep losing yards, play after play after play. Not to divert your attention over to that game, but quickly on
no,
Al's
you should
point,
be listening to us while watching that
on,
game.
On Al's point,
we're
on,
like a compliment. We're like
true.
A side dish.
That is true.
The NFL, we know where we stand. The NFL, the games are the main course. But we can be a plate of bread, you know, like maybe a good garlic
nice
bread.
Nice fine wine. Yeah. Nice pairing.
Yeah, we're not sophisticated enough to be that.
It's true.
Okay.
Yeah, we're like the box wine.
Good call. Franzia. That's us. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame
show.
He
actually knew a brand of box wine.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Going back to his thought on whether or not you'd rather face Baltimore here or Denver there, I don't even think it's close. I'd way rather face Baltimore here.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
I think it's close. But I would definitely rather face Baltimore here. But I think it's close because I think Baltimore is no pushover. And I'm not sure Denver.
I like the Patriots'
sure
chances
that,
going into Denver. I just like them even better. I like
the matchup against Denver a lot. I just didn't like playing in Denver, and that's why I would rather play Baltimore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I follow. But that's you would have been going to Denver, so I wouldn't have wanted to go there either.
Oh,
it's
no.
all part of it.
I would rather host Baltimore, then go to Denver.
It's a little ironic about this.
I just don't think it's as much of a gap.
Seahawks game along those lines is...
Seahawks are getting the ball back, by the way, after an Atlanta punt.
You know, they're supposedly travel weary. And
Leon Washington's gone.
They come out slow, and then late in the game when they should be worn down and, 8,000 miles worn out, they're kicking ass.
And unlike last week, they didn't need the quarterback to get hurt to have this comeback happen.
Right. And the NFC West stinks, and the NFC title game goes through the NFC West, and Paul Perlow
that is,
again.
You know what? I didn't even think of that. You're going to have an all NFC West.
Mr. the NFC West sucks.
Well,
is,
I didn't say.
Is hosting the NFC title game.
Just to be clear, I never said San Francisco sucks.
No, you said the division sucks.
I said Seattle sucks.
You said
and
the
division
sucks
because that gave them three bad teams. Obviously, they only have two bad teams.
When you have two of the best teams in football, you can't suck.
Just to be clear.
I told you I was wrong on Seattle.
You know what sucks? The AFC East.
Just to be clear, Leon Washington.
That's clear. Why can't anybody argue with that?
Leon Washington wasn't actually gone, so Seattle does have the football.
No, that was a Paul Perlow.
They got to go down the field.
He on the ground when I said he was gone.
let's go back to the phones and check in with another member of our fan clubs here. This is Amanda of the Houston Patriots fan club. What's the atmosphere like there, Amanda?
Hey, it is crazy over here. This town has been insane for the last week over the fact that their team has a shot and at revenge and at an AFC championship match. So we're down here at Lucky's Pub again. It's the bar in the middle of enemy territory, and we've got tons of Pats fans and tons of Texas fans. And so far, they're all treating each other pretty nice, but we'll see how that goes after kickoff.
Yeah, change that.
F that.
The Houston players are spitting on the field. You should spit on the Houston fans.
Well, we can't actually see right now. It's full of Seahawks fans in there as well, so we're going to have to wait till they change our TVs over to see anything that's going on in the field.
Those Seahawks fans should be pretty jacked up because their season was over about 45 minutes ago, and now all of a sudden they're going to the NFC title game, basically.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Hopefully the Patriots are going to be on the other side of the field to see, is it going to be 49ers? Is it going to be Seahawks? Is it going to be Atlanta? It doesn't matter as long as the Patriots are there. Most people here will be happy with that.
Yeah, do you? We talked to John McClain earlier, obviously from the Houston Chronicle, and he said basically no one in Houston in terms of the media or anything like that gives the Texans a chance to win this game. Is that the vibe you've gotten?
Yeah, actually, there are some exceptions. There are some diehards who say, the Texans will win because I say so. But, a lot of the guys in the Houston sports media are also gamblers, so they tend to vote on that with their money. So they definitely don't see too much hope. But, they do see opportunities where the Texans can turn this thing around, and hopefully the lesson of the Jets from 2 years ago is making the Patriots aware that, the underdog can come back and bite you in the playoffs. So hopefully the Patriots are all armored up against that, because out of any game in the season, the last one that the Houston Patriots fans want to lose is this one.
No question. Well, good luck getting into Lucky's, and hopefully the Patriots give you the performance that you're looking for so you can talk some schmack later.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. Thank
All
you, guys.
Right. See you, Amanda.
All right, Amanda, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's how you give us a call with your thoughts on this game between the Patriots and the Texans. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo here in studio. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. As we keep our eyes on the NFC divisional matchup between Atlanta and Seattle, we have the Falcons up by six, about 6.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. We'll keep you up to speed on that. And we head up to the press box next to check in with Eric Scalavino on Patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'. Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
They were fresh studios before Andy Hart.
Oh, come on.
Got all the things in here.
I have
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, taking you up to Pats and Texans divisional round matchup here. And Andy is just itching to check Mike Florio off the list. What do you got there?
Well,
Andy?
I just wanted to let everyone know that the Spitgate issue with J.J. Watt made it all the way to Pro Football Talk, where Florio writes that per multiple sources, reports, and accounts, which anyone who listens to PFW in Progress knows is often wrong because he once ran with something that wasn't even reported or accounted by one source, never mind many of them, in a Chad Johnson-related issue that got me banned from him on Twitter when I accused him of reporting once, which he did, that Terry Bradshaw was dead. But, you know, I don't want to rehash history, so we will just get back to the present.
So he just blocked you on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, he's a pussy on Twitter. Huh. He's, like, big time. He apparently he blocks anybody who has anything. For a guy who's supposed to be, like, this tough guy, rumor monger, like, everything goes, he's a pansy. He's an embarrassment to the NBC name. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The brand of the NBC is ruined. And NBC, not just the NBC, ruined by Mike Florio.
Huh.
It's an embarrassment.
NBC.
But it's reached the level of...
When you say he blocked, he wasn't following you, was he? He was following you? And then he blocked you or
no? No, I was following him.
He was following
him.
I was
but now say. I don't get Pro Football Talk tweets, and if you go to it, you can't read them, and if you try to click on it, it says, like, you're not allowed. And
so he has to ask me.
You have to ask Paul. He's going to give you all
he's
the
proof.
Or you got
to
see it.
What do you want me to tell
it?
You?
Yeah.
He's gone wussy. He went corporate, went wussy, and is a poonani.
Just as an update, Matty Icemelt continuing to be
yeah,
in
I saw that.
Full meltdown mode.
That's the first time they asked
him. Underthrowing an out here. And
it's the first time they asked him to throw, right? Is because the run just stopped working on the first couple of downs.
Well, they ran for a first down on the first play. And then they ran on the first two downs.
That's what I'm saying. So it's
had a third and eight.
It's the only throw he had to make and incomplete.
And ball could have been caught, but it was a bad throw, and it would have been short of the first down.
It's a drop. Hit him in the hands. Get two hands up.
It should have been caught.
Catch the ball.
It should have been caught, and it would be fourth and two, and they'd be punting it right now.
You two ladies done?
Kevin's right. The ball should have been caught.
Hand out a couple Vag badges.
But it was a bad throw.
You still have more Florio stuff or no?
No, I'm done with
position
here with 3 minutes left.
I'm done with Florio.
I thought there was more.
3 minutes straight up. Russell Wilson about to be the hero.
Yeah, game is.
The J.J. Watt info has reached.
By the way, I wanted to get. Have you said this on air yet? Your stance on
if he hasn't, Watt, it probably means he didn't want to.
Watt.
What?
And the spitting thing. I know you've said.
I have no idea what happened. I didn't see it.
So
I'm just saying,
if
like what Andy talked about, if you made a big.
That's true.
No, if you made a big deal of it and he went out there and it was clear to everybody that he was being disrespectful, then that's the way that they're tweeting about it. I'm just wondering if it was it that or he just like went happened to be on the Patriots logo and spit on it. Because that, to me, is not the same thing. I don't know. I didn't see it. I'm sitting in here with you guys watching the Atlanta game.
But I tend to agree. I mean, unless it could have been an innocuous thing and he accidentally spit on the logo. So.
Well, even if it wasn't necessarily accidental, I think there's a, like, you see teams, and it happens a lot, they come out and they start jumping up and down on the logo. It's clearly meant as a disrespectful thing to the other team. We're coming to your house and we're going to take it over. That's what. If he was like by himself when he spit on the logo, is that like a disrespectful thing? Because I'm going to come in here and
you would spit on the field everywhere. I don't.
Yeah, I
need to
I don't
see
know.
It. It's one of those. I need to see it.
I can't say it wasn't disrespectful. I didn't see it.
And I'm guessing there's no photos or video really. Well, there's going to be video proof.
Got to be something.
Somebody at home must have been TiVoing or something and show that. I don't know how it got out there. Kevin, give me some video of him spitting on the field.
Kevin.
We'll get to some phone calls here, 508-298-0398. Also some emails,
well,
webradio at patriots.com. I think there's got to be something. There's got to be a camera just following him around warming up. There's got to be something.
Oh, yeah.
They had friggin' Horton putting water on the ice in the Stanley Cup last year. They got to have something on J.J. Watt, cameras on him at all
times.
Well,
then I need to see it so I can make an assessment.
I agree. But
give me the video.
But I tend to think we'd all respect him a little bit more if he made a big show of it, right?
Oh, I would feel, if I were a Houston fan, I'd feel better about the Texans' chances.
It's what I was asking
for. Tried to do a sneak loogie out at midfield. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's what I was asking for him to take the team by the horns. You know, it's appropriate. They're the Texans. They got horns for a logo.
Yes,
they
do.
And say, this is who we are. We're coming in. We're swag. We're going to win.
I agree. If I were a Texan fan, I would feel better about my chances if that was an intentional thing and.
But the fact that there was so much discussion about whether or not he actually did it and so much uncertainty leads me to believe that he probably stuck it in. And it leads me to believe that I don't feel like I don't feel as good about it as we would have if he made a big show about
it. It's funny. Andy and I are going to go up to the press box. Okay. All right, so who saw this spit? What was it like? What did he do?
And Eric's going to go, what spit?
Eric will say, the Texans are wearing white pants today.
Let's get some emails. Web radio.
Scalavino.
Patriots.com. Who we'll talk to when we head up to the press box momentarily.
You will.
This one is from Peter to Web Radio at Patriots.com. Guys, I feel good about this Pats team. We scrutinize them a lot. They're the only team we watch every minute of every week. But ultimately, I think we're the best side in the AFC. Not saying we're guaranteed to win today or next week if we play, but I'd rather go into it believing we're the best team and hoping nothing screwy happens than the other way around. Right there. There's no doubt, to the emailer's point, that the Patriots, if they play their best game, they're the better team on the field today.
If they both play their absolute best
game.
That's
what I mean, yes.
I think this will be a really good football game.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that it's an easy way to analyze a game, but it's almost impossible for it to happen. Like, both teams played their best. Let's just take the Denver-Baltimore game yesterday. I think both teams played pretty well at times. But I'm pretty sure Denver's best game didn't involve a pick six and allowing a 70-yard touchdown with 30 seconds left. And Baltimore's best game didn't involve allowing a 90-yard punt return and a 104-yard kick return. It's hard to say you played your best
in a good game
when the other team, beat you. You know, someone's going to say, if we had played our best, we would have won because someone made a play and you subsequently made a mistake on that play.
But I just think, just kind of go by strengths and what teams have the ability to do. Like, I think the Patriots can play their best in the secondary and give up yards and plays and all those things. You know what I mean? Like, they're not capable of shutting anyone down if the other team is actually competing and not making. Like, Ryan Tannehill misses Brian Hartline. The Patriots didn't play their best that day because, as Bill would say, there's no defense we draw up to let a receiver get behind you wide open. But, the offense has to hit it. So if they both play their best there, that's a touchdown for the Texans. Mm-hmm. Matt Schaub hits Andre Johnson in stride. So, J.J. Watt at his best is a beast. Russell Wilson at his best finds receivers wide open over the middle of the field at the 30-yard line.
Let's even go with the run defense.
Seahawks are knocking.
Let's even go with the run defense. The Patriots are a pretty good run defense team, right? So Houston runs the ball really well as a general rule. If Arian Foster has 130 yards, Houston's going to say, well, we played at our best. But the Patriots subsequently are going to say, well, we didn't play very good run defense. And if it's the other way around, obviously the opposite will be true. So I think
with the premise that if they both play their best.
It's hard to say how the game is if they both play their best. I would say that Houston ran the ball really well and was efficient passing the ball and put points on the board. But I think if all that happens, the Patriots are going to say, we didn't really play very well on defense.
Seahawks, by the way, inside Atlanta's 30. Just about a minute left to go in that game.
But they have all three
timeouts,
I believe,
six,
right?
They do have all three timeouts,
correct.
Is that
really a Seahawk?
Remember when you were wondering why
they
didn't take that
penalty? Is it a
Seahawk
or a Falcon? I don't know which one it is.
Good point.
What'd you say,
Paper? Remember when we didn't want to take that long penalty because Russell Wilson's doing 25-yard passes over the middle?
Yeah, I mean, they punted, so it ended up being a moot point, but and it's touchdown. Nope. Every time he's throwing the ball down the field, haven't you just automatically assumed there was going to be a wide-open guy? That was the first time there was any red shirts around the guy.
And it's a touchdown. Nope.
But even in that case, it just kind of falls harmlessly between about six guys, three Falcons and a couple Seahawks.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's give Atlanta credit. There were actually red shirts in the picture.
True. That is true.
Zach Miller has not had anybody near him all day.
Sean emails in, by the way, to webradiopatriots.com. Subject line, dominant player. He has Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower rushing Matt Schaub. That'll be the key to the game. Who do you guys see as the dominant player in this one for the Pats?
Vince Wilfork.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Wilfork and Watt are the dominant guys on defense in this game. A couple all pros that, oh, wow, can really take over the football
game. Russell Wilson is special. I have to say it.
Marshawn Lynch inside the five with 30 and change left.
Yeah, and still all their timeouts.
Weatherspoon has to make that sack.
Let's hope they don't.
You blitz, you sell out, and you get there, and you don't get them down.
Just hope they don't fullback dive down at the goal line. But yeah, Russell Wilson, by the way, escapes pressure, makes a play rolling out to the pocket, dumps it off for Marshawn Lynch, and they're inside the five with about 30 seconds
left. Really looks like the Seahawks
left.
Could win by one.
Should
I explain
that to you? How could that happen? How could that happen, Andy?
Let's just go
to a Nostra Dumbass.
Let's just go to a phone call.
Speaking of that, do we have any results of the...
crap.
Oh, okay.
You got the six pack in there. He's nodding about it.
We can get to that.
Let's go to our buddy Olivier.
Modesty will prevent me from you reading them on the air.
Let's go to our buddy Olivier in Virginia. What's going on, Olivier?
Do your job.
We're doing it, baby. We're getting fans jacked up. We're pumped and jacked. Why is there a flag? Go ahead, Olivier. Sorry.
No problem. First of all, I'd like to say that our buddy Jeff in Vegas doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm betting the house on this game.
Wow.
Wait, what are you betting on?
What are you taking?
Well, you know, I'm not taking the 10 points. I think that the Pats are going to win over 10 points.
Okay, well.
So they cover, and if they don't, you won't have a house. That's fine.
Hopefully you rent.
I don't know anything. Remember, we live in a society where...
All right, don't go down a Fred Kershian road of politics.
No, I think it's going to be a tough game, really. I think that the Texans are going to come with everything they have, including the kitchen sink. And we have to play our best game to earn the right to have another tough game against the Ravens, and that's another topic.
Wow.
Another week, but, hello.
Hello, and you got to set up that match with the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Who had Max Unger for the go-ahead touchdown?
Marshawn Lynch had it pop out, going over the goal line here. As the Seahawks have tied it.
I believe he was in.
Yeah, I
anyway.
Think it was already a touchdown.
Regardless, either way, Seattle's going to get a touchdown.
That
doesn't
was,
matter.
Who did that for us? Mankins?
Logan Mankins in Indy.
In the Texans? No, it was in the Texans game, wasn't it?
No, it was in Indy.
It was Indy, and then Indy did the same thing the other way. Jeff Saturday, I think, got a touchdown.
This is a good weekend of football, baby. Hopefully this game lives up to
the
hype.
I was going
to
ask you guys before
the
that.
The Patriots did it earlier this year, and Lloyd fell on one.
But I'm talking about right a goal line run like this, and a big lineman fell on one. I was going to ask you, what was that, 36 seconds? Before that play?
There's still 30.
I was going to ask you guys, would you let them score? Because I would have. I think the only chance they have of winning the game
Matt
is going
Ryan,
down to kick
the way he's throwing it with 30 seconds
but
left.
To me, the only way they have a chance to win the game is if he went in here's the thing. If they declared that he wasn't in, it's not a touchdown. I don't understand why this would need to be reviewed. It should be a touchdown either way, right? Why would they be reviewing this?
That's a good point. Either way, the guy recovered it.
It was
in the
first
end zone.
Down, so he doesn't have to recover it. Only on fourth down, the guy who fumbles it has to recover it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, I would have let them score because I think the only way Atlanta had a chance. I don't think it was realistic that they were going to keep them out.
There's 31 ticks left. They still have two timeouts, and we'll see how much of the field they have to go. Also, there's they might not connect on the field goal or the extra point, rather, as we already saw here today. But,
no, we didn't.
With Atlanta not being able to connect,
It was called back, if you recall.
What?
The extra point they had blocked was a penalty on Seattle. So they re-kicked it, and he made it.
How's Atlanta only have 27?
Because they kicked two field goals.
Well, never
mind. Wow, it's like he never saw an NFL game before.
Apparently, I didn't see that game. Apparently, I didn't see any of this game.
Because you've been paying attention to the show. Thank you.
We have been trying to do a pregame social, so I don't feel so horrible about
just
that.
Just trying to keep everybody up to date with our nonsense.
508-298-0398. It's your phone number to get in touch here. How do you feel about hearing from your buddy Al in Italy?
Oh, fat Al.
He writes in to webradiopatriots.com. Guys, this week, I've listened to every possible radio show. The guys at EEI spent all week being cocky and almost making fun of everyone who thought the Texans would be a problem for the Patriots. Am I blind? where all this confidence has come from, or where has all this confidence come from. I'm mentally prepared to lose this game. As always, less Andy and more Paul, and that's Al in Italy.
Less fat Al. I am mentally prepared to lose this game. I don't disrespect the Texans like Dan Shaughnessy or, you know, some fan or some fans. You know, we just talked about it. I think if the Texans play their best game, they could win this game. You know, I just, to me, they have talent on both sides of the football. They have playmaking. They're a traditional team. They have a running back. They have a tight end. They have a wide receiver. You know.
Quickly to jump in, and sorry to cut you off there, but just because you threw the question out earlier, Paul, we got an email. I don't know if this is true. You can't advance the ball on a fumble in the final 2 minutes of a game? Is that what it is?
Okay.
I thought that's what it was.
Okay.
That's the reason they're reviewing this thing.
I didn't realize he was in anyway. I mean, I'm sure they're going to. Well, I shouldn't say sure.
I don't know, his hands haven't gone up yet.
I saw all kinds of things that I was sure about yesterday in the Denver Baltimore game. Both ways, by the way. Calls both ways that I thought were ridiculous. There was a fumble by Peyton Manning early in the game that he was on the ground for about 20 minutes, and they said it was a fumble. Never even went to review to look at it because there was a penalty.
Then there was the tuck rule that some reason didn't get called.
Right.
Well, I know. I have an idea what that reason is, but I won't share that one on the air.
What is that now?
I won't share it.
I'm going to hold off on it. All right. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you here. And the NFL divisional matchup between the Pats
is good.
And the Texans.
And
is
they have a
1-point
lead at the end of the game.
Patriots fans can download the Pepsi Patriots anthem at www.pepsianthems.com. I would just like to point out it's not the end of the game yet. There's 31 seconds left with Seattle
if
coming all the way back.
If this was Northeastern basketball, you would have deemed it over.
They're in front 28-27 right now.
Okay, let's set up to the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, Eric Scalavino joining us from upstairs here at Gillette Stadium. And Eric, the buzz all over Twitter and a little bit here on our program as well, though we haven't seen it yet, is J.J. Watt spitting on the Patriots logo. What happened there?
Guys, I have a newsflash for you. Players, the athletes, they tend to spit on fields. And sometimes the fields have paint on them. And, you know, these things happen.
Good for you.
I think it's way too much is being made of this idiotic notion that he went and spit on the field. No, I didn't. But, okay. I mean, players spit on the field all the time.
Yeah, I actually think it increases Houston's chances to win the game if he did it on purpose. That's why I was curious if you had seen it.
Oh, okay.
Now, where is this?
I think it would sort of display a mental toughness attitude that I don't think they have.
Machismo.
Where is this stemming from? Is this media members from the press box watching it? Did it appear on some sort of coverage on TV? What are we talking about?
I don't know where it actually started, but I did see some tweets from people in our press box saying, oh, yeah, I can confirm that I saw him do it or whatever. But, I mean, who cares?
Yeah, well, I'm with Paul. If he made a WWE-like act of it and really, you know, look to the crowd and hawked up a big, if you could do that, I think it would be a great thing for them in saying, you know, we're not afraid of this situation. I'm the leader of the Texans, and you know what I think of you? I spit on you.
Well, I tell you what, Andy, I'd be with you if
the
he
Iron
did
Sheik
that,
on the field.
If he did that right about now,
right.
When, you know, there are actually people in the stadium who could actually see it and
right.
There were cameras like showing, you know, a broadcast or whatever. He did it when there were five people in the stadium.
Yeah, I don't really buy it. I don't really buy it. And the main reason I don't buy it is because Mike Florio reported it on his garbage site, ProFootballTalk.com, and we know that site is garbage. So we know it's probably not true. So let's get to more important things.
Mike Florio, double check.
Are we in the we call that a double douchebag check
gotcha.
Around here.
Yes, yes.
Now I'm off my game. What are you seeing in pregame warmups? I assume they have begun. We're a little bit later in the process today. And in terms of some of the injured guys, most notably the secondary, I would be interested in.
Yeah, they are. They did get a really, really late start, even though it's, you know, a 4:40 now, I think they're saying, kickoff. The players really on both sides waited till the very, very last minute to come out here, so it's been a little difficult. They haven't even gone into team, the Patriots haven't. The Texans are in their team warm-ups right now, but the Patriots are just now starting to get into that. So I can give you some up-to-the-second lineup information as it unfolds. I'm seeing in the secondary right now McCourty and Gregory at safety, Dennard and Tlaib at right and left corner, as we have seen in the past. So right now it looks like your quote-unquote normal secondary is intact as we start warm-ups here.
And I think that's huge. The other aspect I talk about, and again, I know you said the Texans maybe are a little advanced. What have you seen just in terms of beyond the spit gate, just
emotion or, you know, Ray Lewis-like shows of emotion from the Texans as a group or individually, anything like that?
I have not, curiously. I mean, they were all out here. Well, I don't want to say all, but there was a large number of them out here. Probably, you know, just moments after they got off the bus, they were in, you know, their shorts and T-shirts. It's so balmy out here, they could actually just wear the shorts and T-shirts, and it's not unusual today. But they were kind of just sort of standing around, kind of talking to each other, some getting a little bit of a jog or a stretch in. The spitting incident with Watt happened while he was also just lounging around, just in his shorts and T-shirt, too. I mean, not really a whole lot of – it's certainly not like when the Ravens came here a few years ago and we saw that really emotional scene with Ray Lewis doing the you know, the whole team in the end zone and giving that emotional speech. Nothing at all like that so far. Maybe we'll see something before the end here, but I don't even know who would be who would be a candidate to lead one of those charges on this Texans defense. Maybe Watt. I mean, he's kind of a vocal guy at times, but so far I've not seen anything like that.
Eric, I hope you're watching a TV, because as we speak, there's a lot going on in the end of that Falcons game, 28-27 Seattle. Atlanta in position for a mid-range field goal.
Oh, no, 49-yard. 40, big boy.
I consider that mid-range.
Big boy field
He's
goal.
He's in a dome. That's mid-range. Adam Vinatieri would drill this right down the center.
He's
start celebrating before
by the way,
he
just
foot.
He just pushed it and missed it, yeah. But it was a timeout by Seattle.
Little Pete Carroll timeout,
Pete Carroll said something clearly right to the referee, and now he's claiming he didn't call timeout.
Maybe he said, I don't want a timeout.
I am seeing that. But I'm also seeing, guys, what I just predicted would happen. J.J. Watt was just leading in a Ray Lewis-like motivational speech down at about the 10-yard line here.
I like it.
So that's the first real sign of some sort of emotion that I've seen from the Texans today.
And the field goal was good.
Falcons just hit their field goal. And
the second try's a charm. But it's not over yet. Russell Wilson's special.
And why isn't it over, Andy? Because yet another NFL head coach cannot handle the clock. They complete a pass over the middle with 13 seconds left, and Mike Smith runs down the field like his pants are on fire to call his last timeout instead of letting the clock run down to about 4 seconds, which every other team does, so the field goal is the last play.
Mike Smith.
You laugh.
All ready to go and you laugh, another coach
but
in
this,
the face.
This is why things like this happen to guys like Mike Smith, because they allow one more play to be run here. And if Leon Washington is running in the end zone on this kickoff, and Mike Smith is out of work tomorrow, you'll say, if he had listened to Paul, he'd still be employed.
Because Paul's the expert on career advancement and retention.
That is the funniest line you've ever had. Right there. That's the funniest thing you've ever said to me.
All right, Eric. What do you got? Light breaking news out of the press box.
No, just one other note, I just think. On Rob Gronkowski, first we've seen of him in the last couple of weeks, with his arm all... taped up like it was the last time we saw him. When he was blocking in his warm-up drills with the other two tight ends, he pushed off with both arms when he was the guy, you know, lined up on offense. But when he was playing defense, so to speak, in the warm-up drill, he wasn't using his left arm at all. He was sort of bracing with the impact with just his right arm. And that makes me a little bit less optimistic about how he is health-wise right now than I was maybe just a couple of hours ago when I thought, you know, having seen him for the last couple of weeks in practice and around the locker room. The fact that he was, you know, and I don't know if that's still a mental hurdle or not, but just something that I noticed that was a sort of a leftover from that Miami game.
Oh, don't be negative. He's just being overly cautious. He'll be fine. It was a psychological thing.
It's not Aaron Hernandez.
He's back.
Remember.
He's back. Gronk Spike. And Eric, I look forward to coming up to the press box, because if the first three games of the weekend were any indication, we are in for a phenomenal 60 minutes of football or more.
Indeed.
Coming up.
Indeed.
We'll see you in a little bit.
Okay.
I am really jacked up, and you know what that means. It's going to be a severe letdown.
Did anyone just see what happened on this kickoff?
Yeah, they
Matt Bosher, the kicker, was just like in a fight with his helmet off.
Why did they onside kick?
I think they meant to squib or something, and he
That was an onside kick.
Yeah,
they were going for it.
That was an onside kick.
They were trying to recover
and you guys
they were trying to recover it. They have guys jumping on the pile.
Just kick a field goal.
What?
So they have the ball at the 50-yard line?
Pretty much.
I would try to kick a field goal.
68-yard field goal?
Yeah, that makes no sense what they were doing.
It makes absolutely zero sense.
I thought they tried to squib and he just screwed it up.
You're 6 seconds.
They're trying to recover that.
No, he just did that little
It looked like he kicked the top of the ball. I don't think he kicked it hard enough to squib it.
It's not like he was trying to shoot it through and it hit the guy.
6 seconds, they still have timeouts. They're on their own side of the field, so we'll see here.
Who's their kicker this week? They had to sign someone.
Ryan Longwell.
Yeah, not Hauschka anymore. The Massachusetts native. Seattle's still with timeouts. They get out of bounds. They're into Atlanta territory
timeouts
with 2 seconds left.
58. You're going to have to
timeouts are irrelevant.
Longest field goal in the history of the NFL right here.
I got to tell you, I can't. I mean, if that looked like to me, it was a clear onside kick.
He
looked like he kicked the top of the ball.
It was an onside kick.
So I can't tell you how badly I'm rooting for this guy to make this kick. I just hate when idiotic coaching is rewarded with victory.
Huh. Mike Smith is probably going to keep his job. By the way, is Atlanta going to cover in this scenario?
I believe it's two and a half.
I thought it was 2.5, too. That's what I thought.
And they're going to go for the Hail Mary, by the way.
Which worked against Green Bay earlier this season as Seattle's still trying to come back against the Atlanta Falcons, and they're not going to do so. And is Atlanta
Julio Jones with the pick.
Nice. Jones making a play.
Maybe if Demaryius Thomas was back deep for the Denver Broncos, they'd still be playing.
What's
the matter? What did I miss?
Jones making a play, not a surprise.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Any final thoughts here, guys, before
he
we get out to
better
it.
Than you two.
I also have to, in full disclosure, you know, Matty Ice Melt, two huge throws.
Oh, definitely. Got
to give him credit. Huge throws.
And I have to say, in full disclosure, that Patriots fans better hope Andy doesn't go 0-for-4 in his picks this weekend because he's 0 for his first three.
Yeah, I think I'm 0-for-3, too. I think the line was 2.5.
I am 0 for
3. 3 for 3 behind the glass over here.
Interesting. Quarterback didn't get hurt. Seattle's out.
This cocky a-hole.
Pete Carroll not so pumped and jacked in the locker room after this one.
Do you see how ridiculous, scoreboard analysis can be? No, I was being sarcastic intentionally.
Facetious, if
you
will.
Yeah, good. Facetious. Yes. I agree.
Facetious.
You can use the result and say, see, I told you. Well, no, I mean, the guy was unconscious in the second half, and he played out of his mind. And Seattle obviously is worthy of being where they are, and they're a team on the rise.
My final thoughts on this game are right where we started. I think assuming that it plays out like the first three, Houston's going to come out game. They're going to come out ready to play. They're going to make plays. They're going to play to their strengths, not their weaknesses. And I'm happy to watch that. And as I said, if that happens, I think it'll be a dogfight. If both teams play their best game, I don't think the Patriots can blow the Texans out or even win easily and control the game if the Texans play their game. I don't expect them to play well enough, though. It all comes down to Schaub for me, and I still sorry about that. ding.
Is that you?
Yeah. That's the thing that Fred set up on my phone. That one time I missed a text from him. He goes, come on, turn that thing up loud. And he set it up, so I have to hear text coming in.
Gotcha.
But I just think that the Patriots are the better football team at home. And I think they're going to come out and throw the ball and do what I want the Texans to do, the Patriots are going to do. I think you're going to see these weapons be targeted early and often. I don't think it's going to be establish the run. I think it's going to be establish the lead and then go from there. Patriots 28-13 for the Texans.
Yeah, I'm a big believer, and I know Andy is too. It seems like when these games and when the weekends, they sort of start and they take on a pattern, and they continue. The first weekend, they were all sort of lackluster games, none of them really close. There wasn't a lot of drama and intrigue. This weekend, totally the opposite. Lots of points, close games, really exciting games. San Francisco pulled away at the fourth quarter last night, but that was a 24-24 game for a while. I believe this game will be a little bit closer than the first one, but I think it's going to put an end to the trend. I think the Patriots are going to get up early, and I don't think Houston's going to be able to handle it. I think Wade Phillips is sort of a creature of habit. That's who he is. I think it suits him very well, being as aggressive as he is normally. I just don't think you can have that approach against Tom Brady. I think the Patriots get up, they continue the momentum, and by the fourth quarter, they're simply running out the clock, 34-20.
Setting up an AFC title game rematch right here at Gillette Stadium next week.
Not even going to lie, by the way, 34-20 was my number, so
that's okay.
I don't know if I should alter it or not, but I think the Patriots.
Fred said that I was dismissing. Let me get this out real quick.
Sure.
Fred said I was dismissing Houston's chances. I was being very disrespectful by saying it was going to be 34. He said it's going to be much closer when he picked 33-19. I kid you not, not a crack of a smile.
No, they didn't give up.
He somehow considered
points,
one less point on each side was not a blow.
33, fine. 34, that's a lot
that
of points.
That is disrespectful. That is disrespectful, Paul. I'll go 35-20 just so we have a different number. Patriots win and cover in this one, and I think it'll be the least interesting game of the weekend in terms of how some of these others have played out, as Andy said. They've been intriguing.
It has to be pretty good to keep stride with these, because these have been three good football games.
It's true. It'll do it here for us on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here at Gillette Stadium, where the game will take place between the Patriots and Texans. Enjoy the game. I'll talk to you after right here on the Patriots postgame show.
I got to work.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots square off against the Houston Texans.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spice at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right. It is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.